Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, good morning. This is Doug Field, the CEO of the Institute for Healthcare Consumerism, and welcome to this week's edition of Healthcare Consumerism Radio. We appreciate you all taking time out of your day to join us here. We've got a good program coming up. We're going to be talking to Donna Crisale, who is new to ECFC Association. She's the new technical advisor, and you know, she's going to be talking about what's happening around these regulations, and specifically around 213 and qualified medical expenses, and what some issues around that. So we're looking forward to having Donna on the program. And ECFC has become a partner of the IHC's recently, working to promote our events as we work to help promote, some of their initiatives. But I'm joined in studio by our radio producer, Jonathan Field. Jonathan, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you doing today?
I'm doing great.
Good. A lot of good stuff happening, including our recent announcement.
That's right. We had a major announcement on Wednesday morning of this week. You want to share with the audience?
Yeah, we made a strategic move for the benefit of this industry and are moving our private exchange forum from Baltimore to be co-located with IHC Forum West. We just feel that this is going to provide a much deeper and richer experience for our attendees, who will now, attendees at Private Exchange Forum or IHC Forum West, will have accessibility to, attend either of the programs and sessions in
right.
Either programs, provide better experience for our speakers, a much larger audience expected out west, 500 plus, attendees. And thus, that's the benefit for our sponsors, too, that come and participate with us in our innovation showcase at the Red Rock in Las Vegas on November 9th. And we think the timing of the year is a little bit better, too. And we've already gotten some initial feedback there about people feeling better about, joining us November 9th and 10th as they look to enter, the new year 2017.
Right. So, practically speaking for our attendees, we will have our full set of Private Exchange Forum general sessions on the morning of November 9, that's the Wednesday. That's during the pre-conference block for the Forum West program. So from 8:30 to 12:30 that morning, we will have a smaller ballroom where, whether or not you're already registered for Private Exchange Forum or Forum West, if you want that specialized private exchange content, you can go to, everything from our keynote address from Ryan Howells at Levitt Partners to what benefits brokers are doing around private exchanges. So you'll be able to access that on Wednesday morning before Forum West even officially opens. And then throughout IHC Forum West, we will have two workshops on every track that will be branded as Private Exchange Forum and will be that specialized expert private exchange content that you expect from that conference.
And then we've taken a general session that was geared for Private Exchange Forum, entitled "The Time Is Now," and looking at HR benefit, admin, and exchange technology, and that'll become a primary general session in the IHC Forum West program. But kind of back up a little bit, too, and share with our audience, too, out there is that, we just did not feel that the state of this market right now in being confused and trying to figure out what to move on forward on, private exchanges, et cetera, really was causing Private Exchange Forum Baltimore really not to be the type of environment that we're accustomed to delivering to our speakers, attendees, and our sponsors. So that was behind this move. But it's also going to be a consistent move. You look ahead in 2017 in Las Vegas, you will see these two co-located events growing. And they are two, as Jonathan said, they are two separate programs that you can take advantage of. We hope to see you there, and the program's being updated right now, so you can access it by going to GHEIHCC, forum, .com. Jonathan, any other observations you might want to share with our audience about this co-location move?
Yeah, I mean, it's to anybody that was registered for Private Exchange Forum, it's, just going to bring this same content, as you mentioned, to a much greater exposure. And then, of course, in the beautiful setting of the Red Rock Resort in Las Vegas.
Yep. And I think, some other developments around IHC Forum West, we're talking about this co-location. We're really excited about the program that's coming along that we're working on completing here in the month of August, the 1st of September. There's going to be a lot of fresh content, a lot of fresh speakers. There's always going to be a core of thought leaders that are with us, like a John Hickman of the world, John Young certainly as our conference co-chair, and others that will be a part of this program. We're also announcing a couple new partners working with us on this program, ACRAM, which is a risk management group, Healthcare Risk Management Association for employers, is partnering with us to produce an employer track geared around healthcare cost containment, where we'll have sessions talking about direct contracting and destination health, contracting, where we'll talk about pharmacy benefits, a specific focus on specialty benefits. A session will be on educating and engaging the CFO, and Bill Lacey, who is executive director of ACRAM, is a former CFO. So I think it'll be a unique perspective. And then we're going to have a specific session for public entities. City, state, and county governments are all facing tremendous cost pressures and, some of the same challenges that the private sector market is. So we're going to do a session just for public entities. And then CBiz, one of the country's largest national broker and consulting firms, is partnering with us in really two ways. Their team is going to get behind producing our well-being track. We'll be five workshops in the well-being track, and providing, employer speakers and other speakers there. So we're really excited to have CBiz working there. And then they're going to bring their CBiz Eddington Well-Being Awards into our awards program and our awards ceremony at IHC Forum West. So we're real excited to have CBiz behind this effort, and they're excited about joining us with West and working to make sure the awards program is successful, to make sure these well-being sessions are successful, and their team's going to get behind promoting this to their employer clients across the country. So a lot of exciting things happening around IHC Forum West, and we'll also very well timed. We will know on Wednesday at the event, who's the next president of the United States. So,
well, we might know Tuesday night. We'll see.
Yeah, we might know Tuesday night. You're right. So it'll be interesting discussion out there. Well, nothing will be decided. Everything will be open to be discussed. So we're really excited to on what we're doing here with this co-location strategy. We hope you can join us there. If you're an attendee right now, it's super saver rates for IHC Forum, $99 if you're an employer or broker. But I think, Jonathan, you talked on our last program about our employer VIP. I mean, if you're an employer and you qualify, you can attend, as our guest, as a VIP. There's a form on our website to sign up. The other announcement is that we've closed our awards, and we'll be making those announcements, Jonathan, the end of August, 1st September or so?
Yeah, I would say within the next 3-4 weeks.
So we'll be sharing with you all out there, who the award winners are, and then they will be recognized in a award ceremony at IHC Forum West. We've also finalized our Dallas, talk a little bit about in a minute or so our 2017 event schedule. Our major private exchange benefit admin technology event will be in Dallas on March 28th, 29th, same place at the Embassy Suites and Frisco Convention Center in Dallas. So we're excited about that, March 28th through the 29th. We'll be back here in Atlanta for our 8th annual IHC Forum and Expo. Those dates will be forthcoming shortly. And then we'll be out west in Las Vegas, at the Red Rock in the month of November. So, look for those announcements to come shortly. But we did just finalize our dates for Dallas, which is, again, March 28th through 29th. Jonathan, any other news you want to kind of share with our any updates while we wait for our first guest to join?
Yeah, I mean, there was some big news from the industry this week. Of course, Accolade probably leads the headlines in healthcare consumerism this week. They, if you don't know, they just closed $70 million, and they're actually their Series E funding. And that was led by Andreessen Horowitz, a major venture capitalist firm. So, they seem kind of ready to really roll their product out to more and more health plans, employers, and healthcare systems. Yep. And, I really like what they're doing as far as connecting all these disparate pieces in the healthcare market and making it easier for consumers to know what's going on when they have a health issue.
Yeah, it's pretty exciting. I think it's, another reaffirmation of, where this market's moving forward and, what employers and health plans are doing and others to really embrace the consumer and become more consumer-facing, organizations. So I think we look for that type of investment to continue, across this market.
Yeah, absolutely.
As we wait for our first guest, if you're out there and you have a story to tell, you have a best practice and case study you want to share, please connect with us. It's all about, hearing from the community. So, if you've got a new white paper that you're developing and you want to showcase with our 55,000 community of employers, advisors, benefit consultants, and TPAs and health plans across the country, please share that information with us. And Jonathan and the team will take a look at, how we can publish that. So we can accept approved bylined articles, obviously send your press releases to us, get us your case studies and the white papers for review, because we want to make sure we become the point of access and distribution to, where this industry is moving, where good work's getting done, et cetera.
Yeah, I mean, we're always looking for, as you said, kind of unique perspectives, especially of value right now would be insights onto where the whole private exchange market is headed. Definitely want to hear from you if you have any insights there. And, as you mentioned, we've had a number of interesting stories published in the last week, including yesterday we just put up an article on building a culture of well-being, 3 tips on how benefits tech can drive employee retention. And that's from Nancy Reardon at Maestro Health. And there's some really interesting messaging in there about creating a positive workplace culture. You see more and more of the messaging being about engagement and retention and well-being. And Nancy makes some, great points in there about, how benefits tech, how an exchange platform, for example, can drive that sort of
Well, appreciate that, Jonathan. I'd like to welcome our first guest on the program today, actually new to ECFC, Donna Griselli, the technical advisor at ECFC. Donna, good morning.
Hi. Sorry I was a little late calling in. I had some phone problems, but here I am.
Yeah, great to have you on here. Before we kind of jump in talking about, qualified medical expenses, et cetera, give our audience a little background on yourself and this new role that you're about to assume, as you are assuming at ECFC, please.
Oh, sure. I'd be happy to do that. Well, first of all, I was with the IRS for 20 years, a little over 20 years, and I retired at the end of last October. And so I am now working as an independent consultant to a number of companies, but recently I began working with ECSC. And I'm very, very happy to be here. I'm happy to contribute to their mission of education and compliance and provide expertise in the area of medical care. While I was at the IRS, during that entire 20 years, I worked in the area of what is a medical expense. And first as what we call a docket attorney. Mm-hmm. And I was one of the people who takes calls from the public, mostly from plan administrators, about whether something qualifies as a medical expense or doesn't qualify as a medical expense. I wrote a number of revenue rulings during that period of time, for example, on medical marijuana, on expenses to lose weight, smoking cessation, medical travel, and then I became a reviewer and continued to work on formal published guidance, including several more revenue rulings, and most importantly, a complete rewrite of the regulations, which have not been revised for 20 years or more, 25 probably. There are a number of statutory changes that have occurred during that period of time, and the regulations don't reflect them. They also reflect a lot of obsolete provisions. Unfortunately, those regulations have not been published yet. Hopefully, they will be sometime soon. But what we tried to do there was not only update the regulations to conform to the statute, but deal with many, many of the questions that we received over the years. So now I will be bringing this background and this expertise to ECFC and helping their members to deal with the more complicated questions of whether an item qualifies as a medical expense or not. It can seem fairly simple, but it can also be very complicated, very dependent on the particular facts. So I will be available to respond directly to members' questions. I'll be serving as a member of the technical advisory group. I'll be perhaps making presentations at conferences, as I did recently last week. And I may provide other resources in this area.
Well, that's great. It sounds like a good role there. And, you know, as ECFC celebrates its 35th anniversary, you know, Marty, the board, and all of you have a lot of really positive initiatives moving forward. And we appreciate the partnership with ECFC as well. Donna, talk a little bit about what constitutes a medical expense.
Well, I just recently spoke for an hour and 15 minutes on that at the conference.
I'm sure
you don't want me to
version.
Do that. Right. I will hit some of the high points. So there's a basic definition, and that is that it is an expense for medical care, and that means that the primary purpose has to be to treat, cure, diagnose, mitigate, or prevent disease or illness, which includes an injury or other dysfunctions of the body, or to affect a structure or function of the body. Interestingly, this is the definition of a drug in food and drug law, although that applies to items and, articles and substances. So this is for any expense. And then there's some specific things that qualify as medical expenses, travel expenses related to medical care, long-term care services, and health insurance premiums, including Medicare. Then there are, and I could go into each of these, you know, in great detail. Then there are limitations. So it can't be a cosmetic procedure. That is one that is it improves appearance and does not meaningfully affect a function of the body unless there's a deformity, and then it can be solely to correct appearance. It cannot be illegal under any law. So you probably saw the recent pronouncement by the government that they're going to keep marijuana on as a Schedule I drug, which means it's medical marijuana is going to continue to not be reimbursable. There are limitations on expenses for travel, and then there is the infamous prescription requirement for drugs, whatever is a drug or medication. And, of course, for reimbursement purposes, it's not whether or not it requires a prescription, but whether or not the participant has a prescription. So I just want to mention a couple things that are not required, because this is kind of there are a lot of misperceptions in this area. In general, you don't need a doctor's prescription. It doesn't have to be provided by a medical expert or practitioner. There's no requirement that it be medically necessary, that it be medically effective, or that it be the least effective alternative. These are all concepts that come from insurance companies, FDA law, et cetera, and so forth. They are not requirements for medical expenses, at least not as a general matter. Of course, I just mentioned that you need a prescription for a drug. But these factors do become relevant when you get into, and I'm almost done, don't worry, I'm not going to go into, you know, an encyclopedia here. They do become relevant when you get into expenses that might be personal and might be medical. And this is where a lot of the meat is. This is where a lot of the difficulty comes in. So you have mixed-use items like a car that's specially adapted for handicap use, or expenses to lose weight. If you're suffering from obesity, they might qualify. If you're exercising in relation to a medical condition, it might qualify. If you're exercising just to maintain your general good health, it doesn't qualify. So the primary purpose has to be for medical care as I defined, and that there are a number of facts and circumstances that have to be considered. The ones I just said are not generally required, are relevant for this purpose. You know, do you have a disease? Has a doctor said this will be helpful for you? And then you also have to satisfy what has been called the but-for test, which means you would not be doing this but for the disease or illness. So just to give you a quick example, if you play golf and your doctor says, well, mild exercise will be good to mitigate your emphysema, you cannot then start writing off your golf expenses or getting reimbursed for them because you would be playing golf anyway. If you can establish that you took up golf solely for this purpose, then you might have a reimbursable expense. So those are the highlights.
But I think you touched on this a little bit, but you know, we've got new trends in healthcare delivery coming around: telemedicine, alternative medicine, concierge medicine. You know, where does that fit into the definition of medical expenses?
Well, that's an interesting topic, and one that we would get a lot of questions about at the IRS. The fact that there's a new way of doing business or new technology doesn't really change the analysis. You still have to look to what is the purpose of whatever you're paying for. Is it medical or is it personal? Does it meet the definition of medical expenses? So let me give you some examples. Telemedicine, big thing these days. If what's being provided through telemedicine is medical services, as I defined, they treat, cure, diagnose, prevent, or mitigate illness or injury, then they qualify. The fact that it's being provided via a computer doesn't really affect that. Alternative medicine, that's another area. There's some interesting authorities out there. One of my favorites is a case involving a shaman, an Indian medicine man, who was paid to do a sing to cure cancer. And this was not a question we got when I was at the IRS. This is a case that was before the tax court, and the court said that qualifies as a medical expense because the purpose of it was to treat cancer. Mm-hmm. So the fact that it's alternative, it's unusual, it may or may not be effective, is not material. So alternative treatments like acupuncture or Reiki that may or may not be effective. I think acupuncture is fairly well established, but some other treatments that maybe may or may not be. If the purpose is to do one of those things and it does not have a personal use, then it's going to qualify. Where you have a problem with some of these new practices or models is where some of what they're providing is medical and some is personal, or maybe the principal reason is not medical. So a good example for that is concierge medical practices. We started getting questions about this at the IRS years ago, and the response always was, no, it doesn't qualify, based on our understanding of it. What I understand it means. A doctor charges his patients or her patients a flat fee every year, not specifically for medical services, but to enable the doctor to reduce the number of patients and provide more personal service to the patients that he retains. So you don't have to wait as long for an appointment. You don't have to wait in the office when you get there. You get the doctor's phone number. You can call the doctor at any time of the day or night, and you're paying a fee for this. Our position was always, and I'm sure it continues, I don't think it's changed in the last 8 or 9 months, that that does not qualify as medical care because the purpose is not to treat, diagnose, prevent an illness. There are no medical services being provided. You're paying for the convenience of having greater access to the doctor. Now, you might look at that as an indirect expense that maybe should qualify, but when an indirect expense qualifies as medical care, it's because it's essential that you pay it. So, for example, if you buy something, bandages or a wheelchair, whatever, and there's sales taxes, those sales taxes also qualify because you have to pay them. If you have an in-home nurse and you have to pay employment taxes, that qualifies because you have to pay them. But you don't have to pay a concierge fee. Mm-hmm. So as I said, it's the same analysis no matter what the new method of the new kinds of services or the new method of delivering them. That what you have to look at is what is being provided.
Okay. Let me ask you this, just for, you've been at the IRS, and while you were there, what's some of the strangest requests you've ever gotten around this topic?
You know, I don't know that we got that many strange requests when I was there. There are some strange items out there. One item that we got a request about was for cayenne pepper. Why would somebody want cayenne pepper for medical care? I think that it could be a treatment for Raynaud's disease. I also understand that it is sometimes recommended for burning mouth syndrome. So if you have burning mouth, you take cayenne pepper and it burns even more. And, you know, somehow that mitigates it. So that was one, and that would qualify if you're using it for medical care.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that I was asked at the ECFC conferences is about an Apple Watch. Suppose the Apple Watch has a feature that measures your blood pressure. Would it qualify? And my answer to that is no, because that's a pretty minor part of the Apple Watch, and it's highly unlikely that you are buying that Apple Watch as a blood pressure monitor. So that would not qualify. Among the, you know, some of the cases that are out there, one of my favorites is the Indian Medicine Man. I mean, that is my favorite. That is certainly unusual. The but-for test comes from another interesting case that involves legal fees. A man was getting a divorce, and he tried to write off his legal fees on the basis that it helped his mental health. And the court said, no, you know, you would have gotten a divorce anyway. You are not in court incurring these legal fees but for the divorce. So they said no to that. And a recent one in the last couple of years that's come up a lot at ECFC conferences is mosquito repellent. That has supplanted sunscreen as one of the number one questions. Sunscreen, I advised them that I thought sunscreen qualified. See, one of the problems is when you're talking about what prevents a disease or illness, it's very hard to distinguish between something that just promotes your general good health and preventing a disease. And if the possibility of getting a disease is very remote, it's questionable as to whether you can say that something is for medical care. Sunscreen, right, I thought was okay because if you don't use it, you're going to burn.
Right.
Mosquito
right.
repellent is very difficult. It's very hard to say no when, you know, first it was West Nile virus and now it's Zika. You have
right.
very serious illnesses out there. On the other hand, there is probably very, very small risk that if you don't use it, you're going to get sick. So that is a question that's still up in the air, and I hope that the regulations will come out and answer it.
Well, Donna, listen, it's been great having you on the program today. We're at the end of this segment, and I wish you well at ECFC. Can you leave our audience with a way they could connect with you and contact you if they have questions?
The audience in general, I have an email of Donna at Donna M. Crisalli, C-R-I-S-A-L-L-I .com. Now, I have another email, D. Crisalli at ECFU.org. But I would ask that only ECFC members use it.
Right. Understand. Well, Donna, listen, we've appreciated having you on the program today. You have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Well, thanks for having me.
Thanks, Donna.
Bye.
Appreciate it. A lot of cutting through the regs and a lot of vagueness around qualified medical expenses. Kind of to close this part of the show and talk a little bit, I mean, again, our co-location, you know, we're co-locating Private Exchange Forum with IAC Forum West. You can follow our latest updates and these programs by going to www.thiaccforum.com. And right now, you can register on our Super Saver rates, which are $99 for employers and brokers. And we appreciate your time today. We look forward to seeing you and having you on the show next Friday on Healthcare Consumerism Radio.